Some of us, more specifically and more directly than he has some of the rest of us. And some of you have heard and have felt the call of the Spirit of God. And only you know what he's asking you to do. Oh, glory to God. No, not only you. He does too. The Word of God says that obedience is better than sacrifice. And he said also that stubbornness was as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is as the sin of idolatry. You know, I wasn't sure about some things that I had seen in the Scripture, some things that people had shared with me about the promises of God and what God wanted for me and for my life. And I wasn't sure whether I really wanted some of those things or not. I guess maybe I wasn't sure what other people would think. I guess I thought if I was in a church like this, I wasn't sure what other people would think about me belonging to a church like this, where people went like that, or like this, or spoke in a funny language. But I saw a passage of Scripture in the Old Testament, the book of Samuel, where God said by the Holy Spirit, obedience is better than sacrifice. I think maybe we better find that passage of Scripture this morning. I think that's what God's doing today. Oh, glory to God. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Thank you, Jesus. We may be here a while this morning. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. The 15th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel. Saul, who is then the king, is told by the Lord through the prophet Samuel that he is supposed to go and wage war against the Amalekites. And in the third verse, God tells him by the spirit of prophecy, thus saith the Lord, go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that he hath. He said, destroy it all. And the story goes on to explain how Saul took his army up and camped around Amalek and his people. They did wage war as God said, and they destroyed everything except Amalek and some of his good possessions. They kept some spoil. And after it was all over, God sent Samuel to him again and asked him, why didn't you listen to me? Why didn't you listen to the voice of God? You kept some of the best sheep and the best oxen. You kept some of his best riches. You didn't do what I told you to do. What I told you to do was utterly destroy them. Every vestige of it. He said, well, we destroyed everything except a few sheep and a few oxen. And then we didn't destroy Amalek, but we're going to take care of that. God said, that's not what I told you to do. Verse 19, wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? Anything short of complete and perfect obedience unto God is evil. Anything that's just a little bit short, if God has told you to do something and you have not done it, it is disobedience and it's evil in the sight of God.
He's not talking about doing half of it or three quarters of it or 99 and 44 one-hundredths percent of it. God Almighty has said to you and to me, and the same as he said to Saul, and he's spoken it to us here today, and he says, I want you to do 100% of it. You must be obedient children unto me, for I have redeemed you with my own blood. I have bought you with a price. You are not your own any longer. You belong to me, and I can do with you what I want to do, and what I want from you is perfect and absolute and complete obedience, so that I may do through you the works of my God. That's what he said. Perfect and absolute obedience. And if there's some little disobedience in you, God said it's evil. It's evil. It's evil.
Verse 20, and I think this is probably in some hearts this morning. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me. And I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoils, the sheep and the oxen. I didn't do it. Someone else did it. It's not my fault, Lord. I'm okay. It's the rest of them. They took of the sheep and the oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. I see what the Lord is getting at now. I see it. Do you? Do you see it? Do you see it? Bless God Almighty. Listen carefully. Praise God. God has called us together to be a people unto him. In the last number of weeks, we've been talking about the body, haven't we? We've been talking about the body of Christ, about the Lord's body, one body and many members. God hasn't called us to be a bunch of individuals. He's called us to be one body. The expression of the Lord Jesus Christ in Douglas County. We're one. We're one. We're one. And if one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. If the hand isn't doing right, the whole body is going to suffer because of it. If the foot is hurting, the whole body is going to hurt because of it. It's not good enough for any of us to say, but I have wholly obeyed God. It's the rest of the people. It's John, or it's Judy, or it's Susan, or it's Dick, or it's that bunch, or it's that group. It won't do. It won't do. I confess to you, I don't know exactly how this is manifested in our midst, but I can see what God is saying. Can't you? Saul said, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, but the people, those, they took the spoil. You know, there's an interesting story back in the book of Numbers. And it's a story of Moses and how, oh, bless God. Praise his almighty name. It's a story of Moses and the children of Israel and how They were there in the wilderness, and they were real thirsty, and there was no water. And God had already done miracle after miracle after miracle in their midst. This day, when there wasn't any water, they murmured against God. They complained against God. They grumbled against God. Then they grumbled against Moses, and they complained against Moses, and they murmured against Moses, and they said, "Why did you bring us out here in this rotten desert where we could die? We were better off in the flesh pots of Egypt. We were in slavery there, but at least we had plenty to eat and drink, and when we died, we'd have a nice grave. But you brought us out here in the middle of the wilderness where there isn't anything. There's nothing to eat, and there's nothing to drink. There's nothing but serpents around here and dry desert. What are you trying to do?" And Moses went before God on behalf of the people. And God said, "Moses, these are a stiff-necked and rebellious people." And he said, "I'm going to wipe them all out. And I'm going to start with you, and I'm going to build a whole new nation." The scripture doesn't say it, but I almost see Moses fall on his face before God and say, "No. No, you can't do that. What will people say? You made promises to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. You said that you had made of Abraham a nation. You said that you would bless those people. You said that you would protect them and provide for them. You cannot go back on your word." Moses. 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 Moses was a man that a few minutes earlier they were ready to string up because he had led them in a desert. But because he cared about the body and the nation that God had built, he fell on his face before God and he interceded for that nation, that God repented of the evil that he planned to do, and he turned away from it and he gave water to them out of the rock. And he was patient with them 40 years in that wilderness. I think maybe God is saying this morning that some of us need to be like Moses. Instead of murmuring and grumbling and complaining about what's not going right, maybe we ought to be on our faces before God, asking God to remember his promises to this body and interceding on behalf of those who perhaps have strayed. And Samuel said in verse 22, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." That's heavy, isn't it? "Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected thee from being king." I don't know what God has spoken to your hearts today. I don't. I ask him here, but I don't know what it is. I think it's different things to different people this morning. But whatever it is that the Spirit of God has spoken to you, I exhort you to obey his voice. What he's saying here, if you put this into practice, is what I want from you more than anything else is your obedience. It's better than your tithe check. Your obedience is better than your tithe check. To hearken to the voice of God is better than your service in the kingdom of God. Let me tell you something, children of God, brothers and sisters in the Lord.
If you don't hear anything else I say to you this morning, hear this. God is not nearly as concerned about the things that you can do for Him as He is about what you are and what you will become. God's not concerned with what you do. He's concerned with what you are. Because if what you are is right, then what you do will be right. And He's concerned about your obedience. Now, there are some who are here this morning, I know because of what the Spirit of God has said today. There are some here this morning that do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God calls to you with an urgent voice. And He says, come unto Me. You may have known Him once. You may have declared Him as your Lord and Savior as a child, but you haven't been walking with Him. You haven't been doing His will. You have not been an obedient son, but rather a disobedient and a rebellious son or daughter. And God says to you today, come home. Obey the voice of My call and come back to Me. There are some, and this I know by what the Holy Spirit spoke. There are some who are here today who are sons and daughters, born again by the Spirit of God, because of the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to their hearts and to their lives, and they've been washed clean of sin. The Word of God says, be thou filled with the Holy Ghost. And some of you have said, well, I don't know if I'm ready for that or not. I don't know if I really want to be filled with the Holy Ghost or not. I don't really know whether that's for me or not. Yeah, I'll probably do it one day, but not today. God speaks to you today by the Holy Spirit, and He says, as Jesus said to His disciples in Acts 1, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem until the promise of the Father had come upon them. He said, I won't let you go out of this town until you get filled with My Spirit that you can do My works. Now, how about you? Is God speaking to you this morning? And have you been obedient to the voice of Almighty God? Have you obeyed what He said to do? Or have you said, well, I'll get around to it sooner or later when I have more time or at a more convenient season or when I understand it better or when things get so tough and so troublesome for me that I need the help? He says obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. God wants an obedient children. Let me show you something. Hebrews chapter 5. If you think that you can serve God in your nice, neat little niche that you have carved out for yourself according to your own desires and your own wishes, you are sadly, sadly mistaken. God requires complete and total commitment. Now, let me tell you something else about you and about me. Now, listen to me carefully. I've known this since the time we became a church, and so have most of you, but I think maybe we've forgotten it. There may be other churches who are able to go on and do mighty, what seem to be important kinds of things for the kingdom of God, and they're to grow and to prosper, and everything is glorious. And you wonder, how does God ever bless that? Because you know some of the people that are in it. God's not going to do that here. He won't do it here.
He won't do that here, I can tell you that. Let me explain to you. I was talking with another person just this past week, and this subject came up. Some of you will be able to identify with it. Just think with me. How many of you had brothers and sisters who could get away with anything, but you could never get away with anything? I mean, it seems they could do anything they wanted to and get away with it, but you couldn't do the least little thing and you'd get your fanny warmed. How many of you can remember going to school and there were always three or four in the classroom that were always talking? They were always, I'm going to say chewing gum. I guess that's not a crime anymore in a classroom. But when I went to school, I'll tell you how old I was. I am. You know, we're allowed to chew gum. But these clowns were always chewing gum. They were always taking the girl's hair and putting it in the inkwell. They were always shooting, okay. Even sticking them to the ceiling. They'd do all kinds of things. The teacher would turn around to the blackboard. They'd make all kind of, you know, funny faces. Every day. But let me turn around one time and say, how do you work problem number two? And she would turn around and say, Rock Hill! Do you know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about. I just know, as well as I know God, I know that God will not permit us to get away with anything. And I'm going to tell you why. God's going to do a work in this place, brothers and sisters. God's going to do a work in this place that few men have ever seen. And He won't have it perverted. He won't have it twisted in any way. You know, sometimes we think of, oh, praise God. Praise God. Open your hearts this morning, would you? Just open your hearts and just allow the Spirit of God. Some of you have never caught sight of what God wants to do with you or what God wants to do with us as His body. Some of you have never opened your hearts to the place where you've been willing to allow God to show you what He wants to do. I don't mean specifically, but I mean to just make a vision of it in your spirit to show you the magnitude of what He wants to do. Some of you may say, well, you know, how could He possibly do that with a few people in Douglasville, Georgia? I mean, whoever heard of Georgia, let alone Douglasville? How could God do that kind of a work? Imagine Abraham must have felt a little bit like that. When God said to him, your name is no longer Abram, but it is Abraham, for I have called you a father of many nations. I'm sure Abraham must have thought to himself, how could you possibly do that with me? I'm a nomadic transgressor. I'm trespassing on a land that doesn't even belong to me. I'm from another country altogether. But he believed God and God imputed it unto him as righteousness. And he did what he promised he would do. God has never really spoken to me verbally that I know exactly what he plans. But I know I want to see it. I know I want to be a part of it. And I know I won't let anything happen to hinder that. Least of all, my disobedience. We think of Jesus, and we see what I had intended to talk to you about this morning was God's plan for you and me. And summed up in just a few words, I'm going to minister that message again another time, God willing. because we need to hear it. God's plan for you and for me is simply this: to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, spirit, soul, and body. God wants to make you over into the image of Jesus Christ, and He sent His Holy Spirit to do it. Now that's God's plan for you, and that's His purpose for you. I like what He said in the book of Hebrews about how He brought Jesus to what He intended. Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. Though He were the Son of God, yet learned He obedience. He had to learn it. He had to learn it. Jesus Christ was not born obedient. He was born holy. He was born sinless. But He was not born obedient. He was born like this little boy was, and this little boy, and this little boy, and this little boy. He took upon Himself not the nature of angels, but the nature of Abraham, the flesh of a man. And He had to learn how to obey God. But bless the Lord, He learned it perfectly. And since He did, listen to the next verse. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Jesus learned how to be obedient. Because He learned obedience perfectly, He was able to become the author of salvation for you and for me. He was able to become what God had intended for Him to be. And unless you and I learn to be obedient, life on the shelf. Life on the shelf. I don't know about you, but I'm not going on God's shelf. There's no way I'm going on the shelf. I'm just not going to live my existence there. I'm going to be in the middle of what God's doing, and I'm going to be in the middle because I'm going to be obedient to God. I'm going to do what He says to do. If He says, listen, if He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for all I'm worth. If He says, be ye filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm going to find out how to get filled with the Holy Ghost, and bless God, I'm going to get filled. If He says, build, I'm going to build. I'm going to find out what He wants to build and how quick and out of what, and we're going to build. If He says, tear down, I'm going to find out what and how quickly, and tear it down. If it's not right. If He says go, I'm going to go. If He says stay, I'm going to stay. If He says sing, I'm going to sing. If He says pray, I'm going to pray. If He says preach, I'm going to preach. If He says speak in tongues, I'm going to speak in tongues. If He says praise, you better believe I'm going to praise. Whatever He says to do. If He says jump up and down like a fool, see, I've lost all my pride. It's all gone. See? It's gone. It's gone. As far as I know. Now, if He shows me any more, I'm going to put that underfoot too. See where the rest of it went. How? By obeying God. I'm going to find out what God wants done, and then I'm going to be about my business to do it as quickly and as well as I know how with the help of His Holy Spirit. Don't you want to do that? No, I mean it. Really. Really. I'm not playing games with you this morning. Don't you want to be an obedient child unto God? Don't you want to do exactly and perfectly everything that He wants you to do as an individual as well as a church? As many as you do, say amen.
Amen.
To please God, obedience is better than sacrifice. All right, I'm going to ask you now to obey God. I do not know what God told you to do. I don't have the foggiest idea what He said do. But some of you God has spoken to this morning, many of you perhaps, maybe only a few, I do not know. And to tell you the honest truth, I do not know what to expect because God has not told me. But he has spoken to you. He has spoken to your hearts. And if God has told you to obey him and to present yourself before him, I want you to stand. Wherever you are in the congregation, I just want you to stand up. If God has said that there's an area in your life where you need to be in obedience to God, then I want you to obey him right now by standing. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Now don't, yes, go on, that's it. Come on, now don't wait. Don't wait, do it now. You know whether he's spoken to you or not. Praise God Almighty. 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 Now let me say this to you. Those of you that are still wrestling with God, and some of you still are, it may be a very little tiny thing in your life. It may only be this big. You hardly even think it's significant, but it's keeping you away from the fullness of God, and it's holding back the church of Jesus Christ from becoming the kind of body that he wants it to be. It might only be that small. On the other hand, it might be something major that he's dealing with you about. But this much I can promise you, if God is dealing with you this morning, you will not have any doubt about it. If God is speaking to you today, you will know clearly that he has spoken to you and there is an area where you need to come into obedience. You will know that. Because those of you that God has spoken to and you're not standing, you're uncomfortable right now. And if you are uncomfortable as I'm talking to you, then you better get to your feet and get to your feet in a hurry, because that is disobedience working in you. It's what has separated you from God. If you're uncomfortable, that's the way God's Holy Spirit has of making you uneasy, so that you'll get up and receive what it is that he wants to give you. Now let me say one other thing. You can have your own private dialogue and your own private conversation with God. You can take care of this thing very privately with God. But God's Holy Spirit is moving here in this place this morning. And he's dealing with you especially this morning. Today is the day for you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Don't put off what God is asking you to do. Don't put it off. Are there any others? This is the last time I'm going to ask. All right, fine. Those of you that are standing to your feet, I want you to come down front, please. And I want you just to make a semicircle across. Yes, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Just to make a semicircle across in front. Yes, praise God. Just, that's it. Okay. All right, good. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're doing today. Make just a little bit of room here. Stretch down just a little bit, Rob, and here's one here that can't quite get in. Just make one. All right, now, I want all of you now to come forward a little bit. Just tighten up. I want one row, but I want you to come forward. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right, now, in the church. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I want you to bow your head in the church, please. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. 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 Yes, hallelujah. Moved by your Holy Spirit now, Father. Begin to do your work, Lord, by the Holy Ghost of God. Begin, Father, to minister, Lord, in the way that you desire to minister today. Lead and guide and direct by your Holy Spirit, Father, perfectly. Yes, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. All right, those of you that are standing here in front of me, I want you to pray this prayer after me. The first thing you must do in order to restore a right relationship with God is to get the sin out of your life. The Word of God says that we're not to sin, but if we do so, he has given us an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So the very first thing that you must do is get the sin out of your life, and disobedience is a sin. Now I want you to raise your right hand and pray this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, that's it out loud. Heavenly Father, I turn away from the sin of disobedience. I am sorry, Father, that I have not obeyed you perfectly and that I have caused you any displeasure at all, any grief, any heartache, and I am truly sorry. And by the help of your Holy Spirit, Father, I will not disobey you again. No matter how small, no matter how slight, no matter how inconsequential, for I would be like Jesus, in perfect obedience, in perfect submission, conformed completely to His image. In Jesus' name. And now, Father, having confessed my disobedience, I thank you for your forgiveness. By my uplifted hand, Father, I receive your forgiveness, and I thank you for cleansing me from all unrighteousness. And now, Father, as I stand here before this platform, I give you the right, with the words of my own mouth, to have your perfect way in my life. I ask you, Father, to do with me this morning what is right in your sight. I'll have your will, Father, and not my own. I desire my Father to be completely and permanently broken, conformed to the image of Christ, a vessel which is fit for His service. And so I ask you to do whatever is necessary to bring me to that place where you can use me. And I thank you also for that, Father. In Jesus' name.